Today is Tuesday, May 30th. We're in East Lansing. I'm Jeff Charnley interviewing Dr. Lester Manderscheid for the MSU Oral History Project for the sesquicentennial of the university to be commemorated in 2005. As you can see, Dr. Manderscheid, we're taping this interview today. Do you give us permission to record this interview?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'd like to start first with some personal and educational background. Would you tell us where you were born and raised?
I was born in eastern Iowa on a farm, was raised in Iowa, went to Iowa State University for a bachelor's in 1951, a master's in 52. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Stanford University in California for a PhD. And my first job after graduate school was here at Michigan State University.
So what year did you come here?
My first trip to Michigan was in March of 1956, mm-hmm. and I joined the faculty August 1st of 56.
Mm-hmm. And you have been here since that time?
Yes.
Wow. It's amazing. That's one of the things we've discovered is the whole loyalty, where people came to Michigan State and thinking that it would be just one stop, and then they ended up their whole career here. It's an interesting feature, I think. Did you have any military service?
Only in the reserves.
In the reserves, I see.
I was in an intelligence unit in the Army Reserves at Stanford.
Uh-huh. What was it that attracted you to Michigan State?
The major attraction was the strong agricultural economics department that was emerging. It was a young, vigorous department. My mentors at Stanford said, if you don't make tenure there, you can go anyplace. Because it's going to be strong enough and recognized in 5 years that mm-hmm. it's a good base to start with. The other aspect, as I got to know the university more broadly, was this was a university, not a cow college, mm-hmm. as the way ag schools were often viewed. There was a strong program in music. There was an interest in the whole range of university studies. And it provided an opportunity to meet people from almost any discipline you can think of, mm-hmm. from art to zoology.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that, your first impression here back in 1956 when you first came on campus? Do you remember anything that sticks in your mind?
When I came for the job interview, the only plane that landed in the state of Michigan that day was the one I was on.
Oh, really?
It was a very foggy day. It snowed that night. When we came back in August with the family to start a paid job, we were impressed with the beauty of the campus and how easy it was to get to know faculty, not only in your own department, but in other departments. Mm-hmm. So it was a friendly place. Mm-hmm. At that time, John Hanna had a party at the beginning of the school year for all the faculty. Mm-hmm. He took over the Union Building, mm-hmm. and your department chair was expected to escort you through the receiving line, mm-hmm. introduce you to the president, mm-hmm. and then you had the run of the union for food and bowling and mm-hmm. dancing.
That's interesting. Number of the faculty nowadays would overwhelm the facilities, I think.
That's correct. But that created a togetherness, a familyness that didn't exist in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And it would be hard to recreate today. The university club was started as a faculty club to mm-hmm. try to capture or recapture some of that family feeling. But mm-hmm. it's a very different feeling today.
Yeah. Did you have any personal contacts with Dr. Hanna?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Not only at the annual receiving line and party, but the primary contacts I had with him were in the early 60s as I was involved in some college curricular work, and then I was appointed as one of 10 people to serve on a committee on undergraduate education. We met, I think it was 1966, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. And that committee included some people a lot of MSU faculty know. Art Adams, who went down to Ohio State as dean. John Wilson, who went on to be president and provost of various schools. Jim Dye, who is in the National Academy. Those were some of the people that I worked with. And of course, it was important that we interact with the provost and the president at the time, mm-hmm. as we were reaching conclusions. They never tried to tell us what to do. Mm-hmm. They only gave us questions. Have you thought about this? Where are you coming out on this issue?
So was that report issued in 66 or was it the following year? Do you remember that?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It was issued, if we served in 66.
Sounds like a pretty comprehensive committee.
It was 67.
67.
Mm-hmm. And we were nominated out of the colleges, but President Hanna decided who would serve on it.
I see. Do you remember what the main result was of that committee, or the recommendations? Do you remember any of the features that came up? Or
I think it was a call to revitalize undergraduate education, to rethink the so-called basic college or university college, emphasis on living learning units and trying to make those work better, education of the whole person, not just a chemist or an ag economist. Mm-hmm. Those were some of the themes. I'd have to go back and look mm-hmm. at it.
Yeah, that's probably available at the archives.
It's available in the archives. It's available in my office.
And you have it both places.
Yeah. I'm sure it's available in the main library. I know that all the people that served on the committee called Crew mm-hmm. years later got
copies.
They
refer to it. Mm. Yeah, the generational change and or generational review of what another.
Right.
Another group had done, very similar, as they were reviewing it now, I think. The we talk a little bit about your own research and teaching. What was your dissertation on?
My dissertation was on corn pricing and the influence of government policy on corn prices. Mm-hmm. My research was basically in the area of price analysis. You will find that I do not have a large number of major publications. I have a lot of little things that I did over time. Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of time working with graduate students on their dissertations.
Mm-hmm. So you directed quite a few?
Well, I was on 40 to 50 committees.
As chair or just as
a member?
As a member. Oh.
At almost any given time.
Wow.
And the reason was that I had knowledge of statistics and econometrics that a lot of other faculty did not have. Mm-hmm. And they would ask me to be on the committee to make sure that we didn't make any foolish errors of that sort. Mm-hmm. And that was consistent with why I was hired. I was hired with the understanding that I would do a lot of that kind of work, and that Cliff Hildreth, who was here at the time, later president of the American Statistical Association, would be the person I would go to when I ran into a roadblock. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he knew people around the country he would call.
I see. Did you teach courses in that area, or was it just an aspect of your overall teaching?
I taught graduate courses in econometrics, both in economics and agricultural economics. I taught undergraduate courses in statistical methods. I also taught program evaluation for a number of years, agricultural marketing. Mm-hmm.
In what areas were you an administrator? Were you within the ag economics department?
I became associate chair in charge of the graduate program. and some other aspects of the department about 1973, mm-hmm. and was named department chair in 87. Served a 5-year term.
What were your main duties as associate chair? Do you remember your main responsibilities? Or
my major responsibility was managing the teaching program, okay. both undergraduate and graduate. But I also was in charge of the library and the computer services team.
What at that time, the computers, what were you using, mainframes or IBM or?
We were using primarily mainframes. Mm-hmm. Toward the end, we were gradually getting to more and more PCs. Mm-hmm. But I watched that evolution take place where people put a PC on their desk that did more than the mainframe did when I first came to Michigan State. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And the calculators, even handheld calculators, were as large as some of the ENIACs and some of the original computers.
When I was a graduate student, I used the old mechanical calculators to mm-hmm. do statistical packages. Mm-hmm. You didn't even have an electric motor on it.
I can remember a slide rule, so that might date me a little bit. So the Ag Econ department had its own library, specialized library?
Yes, it was in conjunction with the main library.
I see, okay.
But we had a half-time professional librarian and a collection of materials readily accessible to faculty, so they didn't have to walk to the main library mm-hmm. or good. Wait for faculty delivery or something mm-hmm. of that.
Scholarly journals,
primarily
field-specific, were there. And
the scholarly journals and USDA, U.S. Department of Agricultural Statistical Publications,
okay.
and research publications. Mm-hmm. Very few books.
Very specialized. In terms of your role as chair, what do you remember as in terms of that 5-year period from 87 to 92, were there any, what were the heights or high points, low points? What do you remember about when you were chair?
The high points was being able to hire some faculty, even though we had fewer faculty at the end mm-hmm. of the period than we did at the beginning. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of retirements and resignations. And I think you get a lot of satisfaction as chair out of seeing, especially after you're out of the chair, seeing these young people take over mm-hmm. and do the things you wished you'd have been able to do.
Mm. And many of those stayed at the university?
I believe all but one stayed.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of those hires, do you remember?
Chris Peterson in agribusiness, Dave Schweikart in ag policy, Scott Swinton in farm management production economics, Steve Hansen in agricultural finance.
Who were some of the, when you first came, or let's say in the first 10 years, some of your colleagues that you worked with? Who was chair when you first came? Remember that?
Larry Boger.
Okay.
Larry later went on to become dean of agriculture and then provost and then president of Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm. We hope to be interviewing him this summer. And he was chair when you...
Yes.
When you were hired. And then any of the other faculty that you recall at that time?
The two faculty that I really knew before I came to interview were Larry Witt, who was editor of the Journal of Farm Economics, as it was known at that time.
What is it now?
American Journal of Agricultural Economics. Oh. And Warren Vincent, who passed away this spring, Warren had a year's study at Iowa State working on his PhD while I was working on my master's. And there were a couple of others that I had met but didn't really know well. Mm-hmm. But I worked a lot with Cliff Hildreth in statistics, Glenn Johnson, Jim Schaefer, Jim Bonin was an office mate, Dean McKee until he left for John Deere and Company, John Donath, Leonard Kyle, Ry Brown.
You remember them all.
E.B. Hill, Cherry Ulrey, Mary Zaners.
Sounds
still
like
in the community.
Is she?
No, because of my being hired to help consult on statistical activities, and that was announced to everybody, I had a chance to interact with a lot of people, if not with a faculty member directly through a graduate student. Mm-hmm. And of course, we had to sit there and do an oral exam together. And
You were the statistical expert.
Well, I was the working statistician. Hildreth was the expert.
Did you work? Did you do joint research with many of your colleagues, or did that in terms of your own research at that time in the 50s and 60s?
I did relatively little personal research as a faculty member, except through students.
I see. Okay.
Reviewing. If you looked at what some people would say was my publication record, you'd say, well, how did he get tenure and promotion? I did a lot of research in the area of curriculum development.
Okay, so the
which
teaching.
Wasn't published.
Yeah.
But I served on a number of national committees as well as local committees after the experience of Q and the College Curriculum Committee. And I was on a number of national task forces or committees.
Yeah, that's assessing teaching and curriculum issues are something that takes a lot of time and effort and scholarly expertise, I know.
Well, the first national exposure was to a committee on undergraduate education in biological sciences.
Okay.
And the basic charge that that commission had was to shorten the time from a research finding to it being in the undergraduate curriculum. And they were thinking that it was taking 30 years for research to get down to undergraduates. And they wanted ideas of how that could be shortened, and also wanted us to think about what really was relevant in the biological sciences for an ag economist. Or other people in agriculture.
How was it you got appointed to that committee? Do you remember?
I was appointed, I think, because I'd gotten known in the ag econ circles as a person who was doing a lot of curricular work, had chaired a college committee that had eliminated half of the courses in the college, and not net, but we, I think on a net basis, we eliminated at least a third. And so this got around the profession, and they called a person at the University of California who was a name, and he told them, the person you really want is an unknown at Michigan State. Because he's got the interest, and he will take the time to do it. And I've got too many things on my platter out here in California.
So you did the...
So when they called me, it was based on his recommendation.
I see.
I'm sure they did some other checking, but...
The what was it, this made me talk a little bit about teaching and your teaching. What was it you liked, what appeals or had appealed to you most about teaching as a profession or the classroom?
As a person who was interested in people, not corn prices, the effect of corn prices on people. I saw teaching, whether classroom or curricular development or whatever, and academic advising as well, as ways to put a stamp on the next generation. And I was arrogant enough to believe that I knew what they needed more than some others.
Interesting approach.
And if you want to influence people, you can do more, I think, that way than you can by publishing another journal article that's never read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of your graduate students that do you remember that went on to maybe stayed in the field? Who were some of those that you remember? Any of those students that achieved any prominence, or that you were particularly proud of? Or
Willard Sparks did a dissertation with Cliff Hildreth as his major professor. But Cliff had asked me to be the day-to-day person for Willard. Willard went on to a business career. He ended up with a firm in Memphis, Tennessee, trading soybean futures. In retrospect, he had the right econometric model and had the price predicted correctly. But the Hunt boys in Texas were on the other side of the market, and they had more money than Willard's firm had. And the bank pulled the plug on them.
Is that right?
Now Willard is in charge of his own company. His sons are part of the company. He has cattle ranches. He has cattle feeding operations. He has, I don't know how many employees in Memphis doing what he was doing before. So he's done very well. But there are a number of people who have done well. Warren Lee at Ohio State. The danger in this is that there are so many that I'm going to miss.
Oh, yeah.
Darryl Good, mm-hmm. Illinois.
And they're teaching on the faculty?
They're on the faculty. Mm-hmm. A number went with USDA in the Economic Research Service.
Did you have connections with
them? A number of them went overseas. We had a lot of international students.
Okay.
And
who studied with you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I are going to the International Ag Economics Association meetings in Berlin in August, because there'll be dozens and dozens of my former students there.
Oh, that's something to look forward to.
And so that's a very enjoyable trip. We have a Michigan State party. And
What countries were some of those students from? Not expecting a catalog of all of them, but do you remember any that?
We had a number of Europeans, more from Africa than any other continent. We had several projects out of South America. We had a number of students out of Asia.
So really worldwide?
Worldwide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at that conference, we're going to honor a colleague who has just retired, Carl Eicher, who was on the faculty when I came here, with a temporary appointment, went off to Harvard and got his PhD.
And he came back.
And came back on the faculty and worked in Africa a lot.
Mm-hmm. So did you teach overseas or at all or on any, or was it just?
I lectured for 10 days in China.
Okay.
I've given seminars in Zimbabwe. We had a project for about 10 years in Senegal, French West Africa. And I made an annual trip there to interact with our team and help them with statistical questions and so on. I was a campus leader for the program. We had a person in the field as a field leader.
Mm-hmm.
But that was teaching of a different sort.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But
you were doing international program, some international program development.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of your contacts were with foreign students who were here on campus.
Correct, but some of them were brought here by our projects.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I interviewed when I was in Senegal and helped the U.S. Agency for International Development team decide what would be the best school for this person given his or her interests and abilities,
mm-hmm.
Not take them all to Michigan State,
mm-hmm.
but get a team with some diversity as part of the research team out there.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any other contacts in the federal government? You mentioned USDA, or were there other in AID you mentioned? Did you?
Yes. Well, I directed a couple of AID projects, three, I guess, one time or another.
Mm-hmm. Where were those?
One was a Sahel Master's training program, which was campus-based, and we recruited students from the Sahel.
Okay. That's in West Africa?
West Africa.
Yeah. Okay.
Sub-Saharan Africa, mainly French-speaking. They have a Sahel Library Project that Carl Eicher started, and I filled in for Carl when he was overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Senegal Project. Other than AID and USDA, I had a contract with NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration. That had an interesting history.
What was that?
I was called into the chair's office one morning and said, I want you to serve on a committee on remote sensing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I thought you had a person on that committee. And he said, I want you to go on it. And I said, you know, my plate is full and running over. And he said, tell me what you have to drop, and I'll help you drop it. About 2 hours later, I got a phone call from Axel Anderson, who's chairman of the committee, saying, will you have your proposal in this afternoon?
Oh, no.
The chair hadn't told me that they were putting together a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So by Monday, this was on a Friday, by Monday I had written a proposal. The main stipulation was that it be for $50,000 and be a sensible proposal from a scientific point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up, after a number of iterations, that Michigan State got a letter saying your proposal has not been accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a call from a NASA official saying, why haven't you responded to the Houston letter?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what are you talking about? Well, you're part of the team in this project, and we want you in Houston these dates.
Uh-huh.
So I became a PI after having been drafted at the last minute to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speculating, but I believe NASA wanted a social scientist because most of the people on the that were doing the research were geographers,
mm-hmm.
or physicists or
specialists.
Others.
Yeah.
And for someone to propose an economic analysis of the feasibility of estimating crop acreage from satellites,
mm-hmm.
sounded pretty good to them.
Interesting. And MSU did develop that as a field or an area, didn't they?
Well, now we have a big center for remote sensing.
Mm-hmm. And you think this was the start of it? Or was it, had it been earlier?
No, this was really being done more in Ann Arbor.
Oh.
IRM was the name of the organization, mm-hmm. Environmental Research Institute of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they had the computer power to analyze the tapes we got. So the project was joint with them. And again, I hired a temporary faculty person to do the day-to-day work. Mm-hmm. I worked with a colleague in forestry who was a photo interpretation expert, mm-hmm. because we had to find out what was out in this plot and then compare it with what the computer said was in that plot.
Mm-hmm. So knowing whether it was corn stalks or trees.
Right. And then we had to make estimates of what it would cost to go to gear this up from just a pilot project to a mm-hmm. full-scale project and compare that with what the USDA was spending for mm-hmm. crop acreage estimation.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting.
What year was that? Do you remember?
That was in the 70s. I mm-hmm. would.